Now, it might sound like a bit of a big promise that this is one of the most powerful investments that you can make in your career and life to have a 10-year vision. And so this session is really to give you my reasons why. I probably have even more reasons than the ones that I'm sharing here. But there's a few reasons why I want to share this. You're obviously here already, and so therefore you are vaguely bought into the idea that you are going to be doing some visioning and that it's going to be a good use of your time. However, I also want you to understand all the different ways you're going to be able to use this in the future. And that's what some of these reasons will tie to. So you will see how once you have this, it is going to be utilized in different aspects of your life. So I really look forward to getting into these reasons with you now. So the first reason I've got here is being proactive about the step after next is not enough. So I typically am working with proactive clients. Either they have been promoted or they have been offered coaching because they are stars in their organization, or they have actively sought out coaching because, again, they are those proactive individuals. They are interested in what they're working on. They're very ambitious, and they're also interested in the step after next. But if we do that from a bottom up perspective, so if we only build up from where we're currently sitting and we only look above from that perspective, then we are really missing tremendous value and bigger picture that you get when you do it from a top-down perspective, when you actually do that visioning work first. And this has tangible impact. You will miss opportunities that are right under your nose if you don't do that big picture visioning today. Let me give you a very simple example. I recently worked with a very successful lady who was very clear on what she wanted to do next. She was looking for a CEO role, and that was going to be her next meaty role, and then potentially some other board roles, and then some NED portfolio. Now, it was only when we did the 10-year vision that she was then able to say, actually, in 10 years, I'm not doing any of this stuff. I've really started to work for myself in a much more autonomous way, and I've really lent into the areas which are of massive personal meaning and interest to me. And it was much more of an independent career that she wanted to be leading. Now, what she realized in this process was that the expertise that she was going to need to have at that point and be known for, she was already being asked to do thought leadership work in her current role. It's just that her current role had very many different toxic elements, so she was just generally really frustrated with it. However, once we did that vision, she realized that she could make some really simple switches to prioritize that thought leadership work early on in her week, early on in her day, so that she was feeding herself first. And she knew she was serving her longer term vision as well. And without me actively asking her about this, she said to me that her whole approach to work had completely changed. What was feeling otherwise really heavy and burdensome and exhausting was now starting to feel like an incredible opportunity that she had to pave her way for future steps. Now, this story is not necessarily the position that you're in. You might be facing a different set of circumstances, but what I think it's incredible for is highlighting that there are often opportunities under our nose that if we're only thinking in a bottom-up way about our next step, we may very easily miss. Okay, so that is the first reason why I really emphasize doing the vision first and foremost. Now, the second reason is really why I designed this program specifically for you and people like yourself, often professionals, highly analytical, great logical components in their thinking, great problem solvers, right? So often this is described and simplified into being very left-brained. Right now, there is obviously complexity here, but I'm going to keep it in that simple language so that we know really we're not overcomplicating this or getting bogged down in that detail. So just some really simple things about the right hemisphere, right? So the right part of our brain that is the seat of curiosity, synergy, experimentation, more metaphoric thinking, playfulness, artistry, flexibility, and in general, risk-taking. Now, if we are only taking that the left-brained part of our thinking into our careers and applying that more logical way of thinking, then we're going to miss all of this. We're going to miss this opportunity to be far more creative. In the end, creativity is a fusion of our right and left brain thinking. But if we miss harnessing that right hemisphere, then we are missing a real important trick. In the end, that right hemisphere is likely to be more opportunistic, more future oriented, more open to change. And it actually is obviously the center of our visualization capability. So I am directly calling upon that part of our brain that perhaps hasn't always been at the front and foremost part of our career work. Often we are doing well in our careers because we have all of those other functions very well, that executive function, that logic, that problem solving. Really, to have the most powerful impact on our work and lives, we want to really harness both. And this is not to underestimate that awesome logical thinking, right? So if you just take a random intuitive idea that pops into your mind, you know, when you're out for a walk or a run or doing or having a shower, that's the kind of the right hemisphere part. But now to do something about that is going to require a different specialized mental process. And that's in the left hemisphere by and large. Right. So then when you get into the solution based elements, it is going to really make use of those rational processes. So what I'm hopefully taking, because I see this so much in my clients, is I'm taking all of those strengths, but I am amplifying them by making sure we're giving sufficient right hemisphere thinking into when it comes to your careers and your work and your life. The other really important part of that, though, is that we don't just want to be in that task-based logical way of thinking when it comes to our careers, because our work can be so meaningful for us and it can really speak to our own values, what we find important in life. And by doing this vision work, I invite you to bring in that thinking as well. People, when they're in the here and now, they have so many different obligations and things to juggle and things on their plate. It's hard sometimes to be able to do that step back and really invite in that strong set of values that is so important to us and give those a place in the way that we're thinking about our work. So I do think that by doing this step back, we're really able to bring our full selves and what really matters to us into the way that we think about our work. Now, the next reason speaks to a couple of my favorite career and time and worky gurus, and that is Dori Clark and Laura Vanderkam. Now, Laura Vanderkam often says, and she didn't invent this, but she often says this, that we often underestimate what we can do we often overestimate what we can do in a day, but underestimate what we can do in a year. Right. So when I look ahead at my typical day, there might be hundreds of things I want to get done. And the reality is, if they are meaty, significant things that are going to be needle movers, I'm probably going to get a lot less done than I might hope. But over the course of a year, I can underestimate that. So much is possible in a year. Now, Dori Clark takes this to the next level. And she says that we often overestimate what we can do in 1 year, but we underestimate what we can do in 10 years. So we're taking this concept of more of a near term time frame and a more extended time frame. And the idea is, in the near term, we overestimate, we get disappointed, we want things to happen more quickly. However, over the longer time frame, so much more is possible. And if we can really hold that understanding, we get to unlock so much more potential in ourselves. We get to stick with our meaningful goals. And another guy that I talk about a lot, Cal Newport, would say that this is very much in tune with slow productivity, where we massively extend the time frames over which things are possible. This allows so much more space. It allows for room for error. It allows for life to happen, but it doesn't take us away from those massive and important goals that we have. So that is why I love 10 years, because really anything is possible. And I have written visions where I had no idea how they were going to come about. literally looked at it and thought, this sounds a bit ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying that I was talking about landing, you know, on a distant planet. I'm not going to say Mars because that probably is going to be possible, right? But I'm not talking about landing on a distant planet, but I'm talking about something that felt just outside my personal realms of possibility, and I couldn't do the computations. So if I had allowed just my logical brain to build that up in a bottom-up way, I would have discounted it. The crazy thing for me is that decade later, I look at that and go, there are so many things I had no idea about at that point. I had no idea that podcasting was going to be huge. I had no idea about how online business was going to work. I had no idea about the executive coaching market and industry and how that was going to grow and explode. So if I had based it on that bottom-up calculation based on my current understanding, again, I would have massively underestimated, and I probably wouldn't have allowed myself to entertain that type of thinking. Okay, so helps decision-making. That sounds pretty blur and generic, doesn't it? But I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. So I was coaching somebody recently. She worked in a high octane coaching consulting environment at one of the strategy consultants. And she was telling me that everyone just sort of stays late and works late because that's what's done. But she was also telling me that she didn't have a clear sense of her next steps. What did that mean? It meant that she just defaulted into the same behavior. And I just gave her a counterexample and I said, look, when I was in consulting, I understand those pressures. I used to be part of a dance troupe. And so on certain days when it wasn't critical, we didn't have kind of a trial the next day, I would say, I'm so sorry, but I've got to go to my dance troupe. People would look up, look around and look at me walking off and probably think to themselves, gosh, she's, you know, she's not dedicated to the cause. However, I was very clear because I was already in coaching at the time. I was very clear about my vision. I was very clear about my priorities. And I was willing to receive those looks and stares and perhaps, you know, get a slightly less than optimal rating on one dimension of my performance, just one, because the other stuff I was very clear and focused on. And I was willing to do that because of my bigger vision and because I wanted to be part of that dance troupe. And I didn't want to have to sacrifice those years of my life and not have the opportunity to be part of that dance troupe. So I had a very clear sense of what was going on for me. And it allowed me not to just default to what everybody else was doing. Right? It was a much easier decision for me to make because I had that clear vision. But there are so many decisions that we're constantly having to make. One of the things that I see in coaching a lot is people coming to me with dilemmas. Should I take this opportunity or should I take this one? Should I take this lateral move or should I take this linear one? People are bringing these kind of decisions to me, all the dilemmas to me all of the time, right? If we have a vision, it becomes so much easier to see which of these steps are going to be aligned with that vision, whether that is a decision to stay late on a particular day or whether that is a decision to take a particular career opportunity that comes our way. And sometimes it may well be that two different options that you have are both aligned with your vision. And if you know that, you can also be secure in your decision making because you can say, well, actually, either of these are going to be fine. It's going to be up to how much I get the most out of those in line with my longer term vision. So having a vision becomes an incredible lens and an incredible filter through which you can start making decisions. The problem happens when we don't have that vision and we basically become everybody else's instrument. We become at the mercy of other people's visions and other people's demands because we don't have a clear sense of our own. This then links to the next point, which is this is such a time saver, having your 10-year vision, right? I have worked with people where once we've done that vision, which they'd come to pretty overwhelmed, working all weekends, working late, not really having an off switch, going to sleep literally on email, on their phones. And after we've done that vision, it has been so easy to eliminate chunks of that time and give that back to the rest of their lives. I had one guy who literally within that space of that month told me that he'd stopped working on weekends, whereas before it was just an absolute default. So I have been absolutely floored by how much time in people's actual lives is saved when they have this vision. because they are no longer just doing the busy work. They're no longer just people pleasing and doing what they are given to do or what they think is probably the right thing to do. This obviously also translates into the coaching. I don't want people to be having to spend and invest time and money into coaching unnecessarily. I want it to be absolutely worth it for them, for their organization. And so that is why I want to make sure we're working on the most important things. And the way of doing that is knowing that we've worked on that vision first and foremost. Otherwise, we keep hitting up against dead ends because we realize that actually the reason why something isn't working out is ultimately because their heart isn't in it. It doesn't light them up and it's not part of their longer term vision. And we haven't really set about doing anything about that bigger issue. Instead, we're working at a surface level. So I don't want to be working at a surface level in coaching with individuals. And I also don't want them to be at the mercy of everybody else's demands when they're working in the rest of their lives. So this for me is one of the biggest time savers. And being able to then keep revisiting that vision and checking that we are not spending our days and our hours in activities that are completely misaligned with that vision becomes a much easier exercise once we have this on paper. All right, so this final one is one of my favorites and definitely something that has come up a lot with clients and when people are inquiring about coaching and being really open about some of the feelings that they experience. So status anxiety, comparison, envy, all of these sorts of emotions that we sort of know exist, but we don't necessarily want to label. What I love about 10-year vision, it almost flips those on its head. So if we are not clear on our own path and we are just going along life and trying to sort of measure ourselves by arbitrary external standards, we're going to end up doing a lot of comparison, right? We are going to see things that other people are doing and think, oh, that's what I should be doing. And we're going to get a jolt of envy or comparisonitis. And we are going to be sort of destabilized when we see people doing great things in their lives, right? Now, when we are constructing a vision, comparison, looking at role models, seeing what actually produces that twinge of envy can be very, very useful things in helping us to construct that vision. We suddenly take those things that we might have experienced in the past and we utilize those for the benefit of our vision. So we literally take those clues into what might fuel us, what might really excite us, or what might be some of our deeply held desires. And we read into those and we convert those into our vision construction. And I'm going to talk about this in one of the future videos, particularly if you're feeling blocked. It's one of the best ways, if you're feeling a bit blocked around your vision, to actually unlock some of what might be there in your personal 10-year vision. So we've got two incredible things going on here when it comes to comparison and envy. The first one is when we have our own clear vision, there's going to be a lot less of that comparison and envy because we're working to our own vision. We're marching to the beat of our own drum. It's really clear to us. It's so liberating when we don't need to take our cues from everyone and everything because we know what's important to us and we know what we're going to prioritize. And by that definition, we also know what we're not going to prioritize, right? And so it becomes so much easier for us to be able to see the world around us more clearly. That's part one. But part two is where we do then still have those feelings. When we do notice that spark in us of a bit of envy or a bit of comparison, we're able to look at that in a completely different way and see whether it can actually be helpful to us in constructing our own vision. So a total flip there, as I see it. All right, so you have now got your rationale as to why this is such a powerful undertaking, and you also know how you're going to be able to utilize this, whether it's for the decision making or to really be able to bring in those values into your career to save time and also to start to view the world very differently now. And I ask you to actually start looking out through that lens and inviting some of that comparison that you might have done before or some of that envy that you might have pushed away and actually start examining that through a different lens because we do actually want to harness that and utilize that. Great. Well done. for bearing with us in this video and making it through to this point. And we're getting increasingly ready now to do your own visioning work.